Hello, High Rock. Welcome to our daily devotional. We have reached the end of our walk through the book of Ecclesiastes. We are in chapter 12, verses 8 through 14 today, the epilogue. And Dr. Scott is with us. We're going to be covering this today. And just as a reminder, tomorrow is July 4th. It's our the American Independence Day. And so we will not be gathering tomorrow or Friday. This is a four-day weekend for us. We'll return on Monday. I'll remind you of that at the end. But as we conclude Ecclesiastes here, we are going to be seeing all these matters finally brought to a conclusion. It's been a long journey to get to the final conclusion that has been hinted at along the way. For those of you who've been following along, you can probably guess where this is headed. But for those of you who have not, maybe it will tie things together nicely the way it did for me when I first read this book when I was a young Christian. So we are in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 8 through 14. And Scott, if you would read that for us, that'd be fantastic.
Sure thing. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, Scott, I imagine that verse about the endlessness of books and much study wearying the body would be very meaningful to you.
I've had seasons in my life where I've known that in very sharp ways.
All right. So here, coming to the conclusion, there is a very noticeable shift. For those of you who are paying close attention, there is a shift from first person to third person. Verse 8 says, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. That's something we've heard the teacher say throughout. But then verse 9 switches. It says, keep this in mind, the teacher was considered wise. So this is someone else's voice stepping in, speaking about the teacher. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. Now, it's pretty traditional in these kinds of ancient wisdom literature writings. It's traditional to have a kind of epilogue, often written in the third person. So traditionally speaking, this could be Solomon and then a scribe. But as we said, there are many scholars, many people who believe that there are reasons to think that this is an author who's writing as if he were Solomon, which was also a common thing to do back in the ancient world, and hence refers to himself as the teacher. And at this point, maybe that person is stepping out, or a group of people stepping out and making comment. Either way, it's not really of primary concern to us. It's more a matter of we're now getting to a point where there is this third person reflection on everything that we've heard. So we should expect kind of a summary of all the matter that we've, you know, kind of an outline or a map of the journey that we've just been on. And so the purpose of putting wisdom down to paper, the teacher here not only studies, classifies, and puts proverbs to paper, he also, verse 10, the teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. People, all of us, we need help to understand the truth, especially when these truths are not palatable. It's kind of like, you know, Mary Poppins, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? And as we've mentioned several times here, this entire book deals with three uncomfortable, unpalatable truths, things that we try to live in denial of, that life is short, that death is real, and that judgment is certain. You know, life is short. We don't know how much time we have. And the things, you know, will the things that you choose to spend your time on, will they matter in the end? Are they really worth your time when your time is limited? And secondly, death is real. There is a conclusion to our journey. We often live as if death were not, would never come, but everyone dies. I'm reminded of a show that was called 6 Feet Under. It was a story of, it went for 6 seasons on HBO. It was the story of a family that ran a funeral home. And in the last 15 minutes of this 6-season show, the show basically fast forwards time so that we get to see the manner in which every single character on the show passes away. And it's like a gut punch. An author, I think it was in Variety magazine, a reviewer called it the best 15 minutes of TV. But really, it was just simply pushing forward this truth that death is real. We so much want to live in denial of it that even this show is able to show us the way that we try to live in denial of the reality of death. And this book, in many ways, sort of like going through 6 seasons of a TV show, this book has gone through 12 chapters now, trying to remind us of this truth that death is real. Life is short and death is real. And now we come to another truth that has been hinted at, but hasn't been so clear. And that truth is this final one, that judgment is certain. Each of us will be held accountable for the things that we do. And I thank God that God brings peace and grace and forgiveness. So there is no condemnation, but there is judgment of all that we have done. Every secret will be made known. There will be no secrets anymore. You will be known and you will know. And then we finally get to this conclusion, this destination, this final uncomfortable truth. Verse 13, that's the whole story. Here is now my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. And God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And so pleasure and wealth, the pursuit of those, we've seen the limits of those. Even wisdom has its limits. In the end, only God can know. So let us entrust ourselves to God's care. One way of I think about it is simply that faithfulness is the wisest decision we could ever make, not only for this life, but for the world to come. There is no true wisdom outside of the picture of faithfulness, because everything that we are and this entire world that we live in is all in God's hands. Scott, what do you see in today's passage and in the conclusion of this book?
Thanks for those, John. I've got a lot of kind of similar, or just not a lot, but just a few points to make the overlap, I think, with what you shared here, try to build on them. Seeing this passage as like a little summary recap of the book is really helpful. You know, we get this starting point, the meaninglessness, or it's vapor, it's everything is fleeting. And this book is almost in some ways like a look at reality that's, and so in some ways maybe a little like it's emphasizing, right, the fleetingness of all the things that we do. We try so hard to do things we may care about or that we love or that we're passionate about. And yet we find that, like, no matter what, like they don't last. And we see the emptiness in those things, particularly those things that are not grounded or rooted in God, are really exposed in this book for what they are, which is that they do not last. Meaninglessness. And that's hard, but there's also kind of a realism to that that says, I think makes this book really appealing. I want to come back to that in just a moment to say why I think that part of the book paired with its ending makes this such a appealing book for us. And we've got this section here on the teacher who is wise, who does the right thing, who draws from these proverbs. And I love how, like, in this book our passage today, right, you still even get this little line though that, hey, but still, even remember, for all of these things, they don't guarantee life is going to work out well. In fact, much study and pouring oneself over books can even weary the body or weary the mind. Even that will not be the kind of formula, calculus that'll promise you just anything that you want. There needs to be something other than that. And then getting to the end here, there's these two things that I think are really that I'm really drawn to. That make that, as I was reading this, I thought, yeah, this is why Ecclesiastes is such a appealing book to me, as I said before. At the end of the book, right, the author kind of steps back and then speaks about, you know, fear God, love God, be faithful to God, and then remember a judgment will come. And that judgment, I think, can also be meant to kind of correct us, but I think it could also be a word of hope as well. I'm thinking about Ecclesiastes 8, and that, again, this is the realism of this book, right? There are the ways that the wicked live their lives and they receive the rewards of the righteous. And then there are the people who do everything they can to do what is right, who strive for what is right, and their outcome is only the way of the wicked. And we look around the world right now and we see this kind of injustice, that is, things are not as they should be. And Ecclesiastes is saying, this is real. But at the very end of the book, this final word, right, is saying, but remember, the real meaning of life is that there is a justice, there is a judgment that will come from God. God will set things in order and make them right. Something that we obviously hope for in the future, but that also calls us, right? If this is a book of wisdom, that calls us to still pursue God's justice in our lives right now. I love this, what I'll call kind of the realism of the book and the hope of the book. And I just think that's where we live our lives, right? We live our lives in a world that isn't as it should be, but we live our lives also with hope that God is going to make good on all of God's promises and make this world better. And our call is to live towards God. Pastor John, you have been bringing folks through this, through Ecclesiastes now for weeks, months. What are your kind of final thoughts on this book?
Well, you know, I started this, we started in this walk through Ecclesiastes kind of with me reflecting back on when I was a very young Christian, almost first a believer, and came across this book. I was reading through the Bible, and I was probably more shocked at this book being in the Bible than any other book, because it just seemed so contrary or different, shockingly different than any of the kind of Christian teaching and wisdom I had heard. It was very disturbing. It made me very uncomfortable. And it was this kind of prod to push me forward. And the comfort or kind of conclusion that it helped me come to was to realize, you know, kind of like we've talked about the limits of wisdom here, like we want, even in pursuing wisdom, we want to control the outcomes of this life. We want to get to a position, whether it's through wealth or pleasure or power or wisdom or whatever it is, we want to get to a place where we can kind of control life. We can kind of set the temperature, set the pace, ensure the outcomes, whatever it is, and like attain the good life. And it that kind of segues nicely into the whole American dream and the American ethos. There's a, you know, frontier to be conquered and a problem to be solved, and we're going to get there. But in the end, it says, you know what? Actually, life is a lot simpler than that. And the simplicity is this, that you can't do it. You have so many limits that tell you that the thing that you think you're going to do, you can't do it. And I love that kind of voice of wisdom and sometimes age coming in and saying, you know, it's great to have these dreams, pursue them and all, but in the end, this is beyond you. And then to come back to say, but that doesn't mean it's all meaningless in the ultimate sense. Like there is a real simple truth. Doesn't mean easy. It's, you know, to revere God, to fear God, to realize who God is. And in that context, to trust our lives and trust our lives to God, submit to God's wisdom and care, that ultimately is the wisest thing that we can do. And I say that's something that has stuck with me from Ecclesiastes ever since then. What are your thoughts, and would you be willing to close this in prayer?
You know, John, I think what you've said is a great thing for us to close on, and I'll just try to bring some of those thoughts into my prayer. Gracious God, help us to accept our limitations, and not in despair, but in hope, to see that there are things that we cannot do, but that we live before your great goodness, before your great justice, and before your great power. And those are the things that give us hope. Hope for more, hope for a better day, hope for a better tomorrow. Help us live into those things in the fullness of all of our limitations that point us to trust you, to show that we need you, and that help us to love you. Thank you for your gracious care for us and for this world. Amen.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining us on this journey through the book of Ecclesiastes. And kind of in light of that, you know, tomorrow is Independence Day, our American Independence Day, and we're on a 4-day weekend. So, you know, just like the book says, eat, drink, and be merry, enjoy all the things that God has given you under this sun in the meaningless days that you have, but enjoy them, enjoy what comes from God. And return with us on Monday when we're going to pick up with the new sermon series that's going to bring us through the rest of the summer. It's a sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit. So each week we'll be looking at passages that relate to one of those fruits of the Spirit that we're covering in our sermon series. So have a great weekend and see you back on Monday.